Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear.
Welcome to the Burden Blessing Podcast. My name is Pastor Neil Radical from Mankato, Minnesota. With me today is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew, here to talk to you about a Bible series as we look at a summary of the book of Jeremiah. Good afternoon, Nathaniel. How are you doing today?
Very good. Looking forward to getting into the weeping prophet.
All right, let's start right off the bat here. Here we go. Why should I care about the book of Jeremiah?
Jeremiah gives us an appreciation for many things. The poor guy lived in one of the most difficult, maybe the most difficult periods in Old Testament history. And the Lord told him about that from the very beginning. He said, nobody's going to listen to you. Now imagine the Lord saying that to you. Okay, your ordination day, and the Lord says to you, just so you know, Neil, I'm sending you out, but no one is going to listen to you. In fact, you're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be left for dead, wanted to be hunted down, starved to death. How are you going to respond? Are you going to say, hey, I'm looking forward to this job? But it kind of puts it in perspective for us. As difficult as the environment is in which we work today, Jeremiah had it much more difficult.
I agree.
And so it's something that we can go to him to look for fortitude, strength from the Lord's word, confidence in the Lord's protection when we face some very difficult times in our lives and in our Christian service as well.
So Jeremiah is a longer book, and you know, out of the 52 chapters there, you talked about ordination. So why don't you start us off in chapter 1, because that's generally a chapter, in my opinion, that is mostly referred to, although there's tons of gems in Jeremiah, which I hope we can talk about a few of those today. So why don't you talk about God's calling of Jeremiah? How would you lay that out for us?
Well, I think before we even get into that, it's important to realize that Jeremiah is not laid out chronologically. So it's not like the Gospels, where you start at the very beginning and you work your way through a three-year ministry of Jesus or his life as a whole. Jeremiah is generally not set up chronologically. It's more set up topically. Now, there are certain things like the beginning of his ministry that does come at the beginning of the book, which is helpful. And in the very first chapter, we hear a little bit about the call of the Lord to Jeremiah as a fairly young man. Just like you and I were when we began our work in the ministry, we were young, inexperienced.
Mid-20s.
Yeah, mid-20s.
Thinking we knew everything, but really
not knowing anything.
Very quickly, yep.
So here's the Lord who comes to Jeremiah, and this starts in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. First of all, the first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 1 give us the historical context. So he worked and served the Lord under the leadership of King Josiah. Josiah's three sons, and one of his grandsons. So these are the last five kings in the history of the people of Judah, the tribe of Judah.
So he's a prophet and was a priest during all of these five kings' reign.
Correct. And we'll talk a little bit more about the fact that he was a priest also. We usually think of him as a prophet, but he was also from a priestly family. He spent the majority of his time in Jerusalem. But he prophesied at the very end of the history of Judah and actually saw Judah being destroyed by the Babylonians. He was carried off into captivity by his own people to Egypt at the end of his life also. So he had a really tough life. And the four kings that followed Josiah, his three sons and his grandson, were all wicked kings. They rebelled against Jeremiah. They did not want to hear what he had to say. The Lord gave him some very strong words to say against the nation of Judah, saying that judgment was coming. And guess what? The kings are saying, hey, I don't want to hear this. And to top it all off, there were other prophets at the same time as Jeremiah who they didn't want the kings to be upset with them, so they came and told them what they wanted to hear, which wasn't the word of the Lord. And guess what? If I'm a king and I have two prophets that come to me, and one says, hey, you're a no good and God is going to judge you, and another prophet that comes to me and says, hey, you're a great guy, God's going to love you, God's going to bless you, which one of the two do you think I'm going to listen to?
Right.
I'm going to listen to the guy that tells me what I want to hear, tells me I'm a pretty good-looking guy and I'm doing everything right, as opposed to the guy who's bringing the law. And so Jeremiah, time and time again, he ended up getting his words that were written down were thrown in the fire. He was thrown in a pit. He was left to starve. You know, all these examples of Jeremiah. So
he's not only wrestling with kings, he's wrestling with other false prophets who are going against him. And so your point is, when we were starting off with chapter 1, you're saying that, okay, the Lord's telling him in advance how difficult it's going to be, and the more we read through Jeremiah, the more we realize everything that he's saying is falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
So could you mentioned kind of the height of what I understand, the height of the whole book really rises and falls, or falls and rises, with Babylon coming and conquering Jerusalem and Judah.
It does, and that's kind of the culmination of the entire book. So one of my favorite things about the book of Jeremiah is that it's 52 chapters long, and it is rich in history. Now, you know how much I love history.
Yes, I do.
So you get to the book of Obadiah. It's one chapter long. You have no idea what the history is and the context in which Obadiah is prophesying. Jeremiah gives you all kinds of history. He talks about the Egyptians. He talks about the Babylonians. He talks about the Assyrians. He talks about the unfaithful priests. He talks about the godless prophets. He talks about the rebellious kings. And so
it's similar to Isaiah in that way, right? Because Isaiah is long, and Isaiah brings in that
yes.
history as well, what's going on with the kings, Hezekiah and other kings at that time too. So I get what you're saying too, and you're, why does he bring in that history?
Because he wants us to understand why God brings judgment upon his people. So if you think about this geographically for just a minute, Israel, if you think about it, envision a map of the Holy Land in your head here for just a minute. Israel is right smack in the middle, in between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. To the southwest is Egypt, which at this point was a huge powerhouse. To the northeast, you have Babylon and Assyria battling things out. Assyria has been the most powerful nation in this part of the world up until this point, but Babylon is rising. Babylon defeats Assyria. So now you've got Babylon to the northeast, and you've got Egypt to the southwest. Who's right in the middle of these two powerful nations? Yeah. Israel. And so Egypt is going through Israel to get to Babylon, and Babylon's going through Israel to get to Egypt. And so these two nations are battling for control, and Israel's right smack in the middle of it. And so Josiah and his three sons and his grandson are right in the middle of this power-hungry surge for dominance in the Middle East at this point.
And it really makes sense, you know, if you ever played like those Age of Empire games or those little conquest ones, if you're trying to conquer a land a little bit further away, and there's a town in between, if you can conquer that town, it could become like a new barracks, it could become a new place for strategic fronts against
right.
your enemy.
And
so yeah, I think that you really pictured that well geographically, but it's like the stomping ground, it's the battlefield, so to speak, because they're trudging through the land and going to war against one another.
Yeah, and so during this time, then Babylon gets the upper hand, it defeats Egypt, and Israel continues to rebel. They, for a while, they depend on Egypt to defend them. So this is where you get some of those psalms that are so familiar. Don't depend on princes or horses. You know, don't put your confidence in those things. Trust in the Lord. They didn't trust in the Lord. They trusted in foreign nations, foreign powers. And when those things failed, they lost all that they had. And so Jeremiah sees all of this. He sees the spiritual decadence of his own people, the false gods that they were worshiping. And as a result of all of that, the Lord hands them over to the Babylonians. Now,
give me time frame for a second.
So,
let us know what years are we looking at here?
Because
I like I like rehearing years because it reminds us these things took place. There was a man named Jeremiah. We know these nations existed. There's plenty of archaeological evidence. When are we in history of the world?
So we're about at 605 BC. 605 BC is generally considered the beginning of what's called the Babylonian captivity. So Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated the Egyptians in 605 at the Battle of Carchemish. And Judah was then – that's the first deportation of exiles from Israel into Babylon. That would have been when Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would have been taken as captives to Babylon. So that was step one in this whole process. And then there were two other deportations that took place later on. Finally, in 586 BC is when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed and conquered Israel or Judah, what was left of it. And that begins then the 70 years of captivity, which Jeremiah is going to speak about in this book. He's going to talk about the fact that that captivity is going to come to an end. In fact, Ezra and Daniel both look back and read the book of Jeremiah, and they read that Jeremiah says in 70 years the captivity will come to an end. That gives them confidence that while they're in exile, it's going to come to an end and the Lord is going to restore them to their promised land to fulfill the promise of the coming Savior. So there's some good gospel message here too, but a lot of what Jeremiah was sent to proclaim was law.
Okay, so let's, just because you made that point there, let's take it back to that first question. Why should I care about Jeremiah?
It presents very clearly law and gospel. And it reminds us that the consequence, as we learn in Paul's letter, the wages of sin is
death.
Death. But, finish that passage for me.
But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
There it is. And we've got 52 chapters that describe that little passage right there from Romans in history. In reality, with people, with places, with real sin, but with real deliverance. And that's what I think is so neat about Jeremiah.
Well, I think it's neat, too, the way you're describing that, because it's not just – we sometimes look at the ups and downs of our life over like a day or two or months. You know, we get cancer for maybe 6 months or something. You know, I'm not trying to be facetious about that, but the whole idea, like, this is extending lifetimes, you know, and so it's like one verse – summarizes that, and I'm going to bring it back to God's calling to Jeremiah, who he's laying this out. This is what it's going to be like. Here's how tough your life is going to be. And there's really not a whole lot of light at the end of the tunnel for Jeremiah on this side of heaven, which I think is something that it's easily forgotten. So what hope did he have outside of God's word and promise for anything getting better? And I do think that's really relatable, like you're saying, for any of us.
It is. It is. No matter how ugly things get around us, there's one thing that doesn't change, and that's that the Lord's in control. And that the Lord desires your salvation, and He desires my salvation, and He desires the salvation of every person, and He steps into history to accomplish that. To send His messengers to proclaim the good news of salvation, law and gospel, right? That, yes, He wants to lead us back from our sin, but to present the good news, I have delivered you from your sin in this promised Savior that is going to come, who is going to die, who is going to rise again. There's a lot of Lenten themes that are brought out in Jeremiah that point very clearly and specifically to promises of the Savior. The branch of David is one of them.
The Lord our righteousness.
The Lord our righteousness. Who is Jesus? He is the righteous one, the one who is perfect, who lived in our place and did what we were not able to do. Beautiful pictures of the Messiah that are brought out clearly in Jeremiah's prophecies.
Yeah, it goes against the comment that people sometimes think that there's no gospel in the Old Testament. There's all kinds of gospel, even in the midst of huge amounts of suffering. So let's go back again for a second. We're back in chapter one again. We've been going off on little tangents here, but good, because it's giving us that overview as well. So we mentioned when we were, you know, mid-20s getting out of seminary that we knew quite a bit. How is that contrast with what we see from Jeremiah's attitude to the Lord's calling him to his ministry?
Yeah, he kind of comes at it from a more humble approach. So the Lord comes to Jeremiah, this is chapter 1, verse 4, and he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, Jeremiah responds. He says, Alas, O Lord God! Behold, I do not know how to speak. I'm just a youth. The Lord replies back to him, Don't say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Now, here's the warning. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then he continues on, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The Lord foreshadowed what Jeremiah was going to be up against in that very opening calling. He says, I will be with you to deliver you. And you're thinking, like, deliver me from what?
Yeah.
He hasn't even started yet. You know, but that was that omen of things to come. It was not going to be an easy thing for Jeremiah. But the Lord promised. Before he even knew what the danger was, the Lord says, guess what? Before you hear what I'm going to put in front of you, before you know what I'm going to send you into, just know I will be with you and I will deliver you. That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like going into a battle and your warriors next to you are saying, hey, I'm not going to leave your side. I'm going to be your wingman.
Yeah.
I'm going to go before you. I'm going to be after you. And the Psalms talk about that too. The Lord says, I will go before you. I will follow after you. You'll be surrounded. And you talk about this coming up in the Reformation. God is our refuge and strength. And definitely something that Jeremiah could rejoice in. Those Psalms that were penned by his previous God-fearing kings like David, 400 years earlier.
Yeah, the front guard and the rear guard, beautiful pictures of what the Lord promises to his people, and how applicable this is at the time of the Reformation, right? Where you're going up against what seems to be odds that you cannot overcome. And the Lord says, don't worry. don't worry. I'm in control. I'll get you through this.
Let's talk about some of those conflicts. I know midway through Jeremiah, we see some of his conflicts with physical and spiritual. Can you touch on any of those, either side of those that come to your mind first?
Well, I think, some of the greatest issues that Jeremiah faced were against the people. The people were against Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, hey, we're going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. And they said, we don't want to hear that. And so they didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say when he preached a message of sin. They didn't want to hear that they were worshiping false gods and that those gods weren't going to do anything for them. You know, by nature, we don't want to hear that kind of thing, do we? We don't want to be told that we're doing something that we're not supposed to be doing.
It's funny. It's kind of a contrast because we would say people don't like to hear bad news, but all of our media is generally bad, derogatory news, except – we don't want to hear about coming judgment.
Right.
I mean, our society doesn't want to hear that, oh, we're going to be accountable for our sins against God on judgment day or when the Lord brings to end our own nation. I mean, if you think about that, will that day come in our lives? We don't know. But what nations haven't fallen?
Right. And the one that stands, nations come and nations go, right?
Right.
Where's Babylon today? The great nation that defeated the Israelites and conquered them and took them into captivity for 70 years. Where are they? They don't
exist. Egypt or Syria.
Exactly. Right. They're gone. So Daniel spoke of that, these rising nations, one after another, that would come. And guess what? Each one of them would fall. But what did Daniel prophesy? A stone not cut with hands that would come and destroy, topple all of those nations of the world and would establish a kingdom that would endure and would not ever end.
That's the nation I want to be a part of.
That's the nation you want to be a part of. That's right. And that's what Jeremiah was pointing people to. Hey, forget this national pride or confidence in these foreign nations. We want to be a part of the citizenship that is in heaven, as Paul says, the kingdom that does not end.
So you start touching on the people's spiritual problems. What are some other challenges that both the people and Jeremiah face then?
Well, Jeremiah describes the sin of the people as harlotry. And this is one of those themes that we see especially among these prophets of this time, that he said, you have worshipped false gods. God has married you. The true God has married you. But you're now playing the harlot with these false gods. These
prostitute.
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that had to be a pretty eye-opening declaration by Jeremiah. Again, not something that you'd say, oh, this is what I'm doing. They had to really think about what he was saying, but they were worshiping these false gods, and this was why they were bringing this judgment upon themselves, on them as individuals and as a whole country. So a lot of what Jeremiah is speaking, the Lord says, hey, I want you to go into the temple, and I want you to speak to the people. So he literally went to the temple, and he preached as a prophet, as also a priest, like you mentioned earlier. He preached and prophesied to the people. They didn't like what he had to say. At times, the Lord would also send him to the kings. He would send him into Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim, here's Jeremiah. He comes in with his statement. The Lord says, write this down. You know, so he starts writing down. His scribe Baruch would write down the things that he prophesied. He would then take it to the king, and he said, King, I've got a message for you from God. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Your secretary knocks on your office door and says, hey, Pastor Radical, I've got a message for you from God. You're going to say, okay, I want to hear it. I want to see it. Bring it on in. Well, Jeremiah comes in with the message, and he says, you're going to be destroyed. Another nation's going to rise up. You're going to die. You're going to be, you know, your son is going to be taken into captivity. All of these bad things are going to happen. You say, I don't like that message.
Yeah.
And so he would literally take it out of his hand and throw it into the fire. And then he would imprison Jeremiah. He'd put him in a pit.
You know what's interesting about that? Is that really any different what's going on today? When the word of God is preached and the law, the wages of sin is death, is announced, like you said earlier, people don't want to hear that anymore. People don't want to be told. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. I mean, but you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to go to a church that's going to make me feel bad.
Yep.
I don't want to be convicted of my sin. I want to run from the law. It's nothing different than what Jeremiah was going through in those days, really. I mean, it's different. I mean, but the attitude is very similar.
Well, let's go back to where you started. You asked, what's so important about the book of Jeremiah? One of the important features of the book of Jeremiah is it reminds us that human nature hasn't changed over the course of 2,500 years, has it? Like you said, people today don't want to hear when an evangelist or a prophet in a very broad term, a pastor or teacher or another Christian comes and says, hey, you're doing something you're not supposed to do, and God doesn't like this. We don't want to hear that. That hasn't changed since the time of Jeremiah. They didn't want to hear it then. And they persecuted those that the Lord sent to bring that message.
But there were other prophets at Jeremiah's time too, just like there's other prophets today, so to speak, right?
Absolutely. You know, the Lord used these prophets in different times and in different places for different purposes. So there were other contemporaries that Jeremiah had at the same time. So as I mentioned, you know, Daniel would have been coming on the scene at the end of the ministry of Jeremiah. So Daniel's sort of taking over. Ezekiel would have prophesied during the period of the Babylonian captivity. So there's lots of prophets at this time.
But I'm speaking more to, like we have today,
sure,
what people want to, as Paul wrote, have itching ears to listen. You were talking about the kings not wanting to hear what Jeremiah had to say, but there were other, and the people's not paying attention to it, but there were other false prophets there too that were saying things that the king wanted to hear. And there was, I mean, we have that going on today in our own nation, where you have people who are using the word of God and saying, okay, I'm going to tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear.
You know, you mentioned that quotation from Paul in Timothy, the itching ears. You know, people will heap up for themselves those who will tell them what they want to hear because they have itching ears. Jeremiah dealt with the exact same thing 500 years earlier. In Jeremiah chapter 23, the Lord says, Jeremiah, to tell the people this, I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I have a dream, I have a dream. And then he goes on and he says, how long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. That was the call that the Lord had. The Lord saw these false prophets that were out there, again, trying to bring in the people who had the itching ears, right? Telling people what they wanted to hear instead of what the Lord had told them to say, even when they didn't like it. So, again, there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. That was true of the days of Jeremiah. It was true of the days of Jesus, the Apostle Paul. It was true of the days of Luther, and it's still true today.
So if we see these parallels to what was happening during Jeremiah's days, what's happening in our days, what are these gems of hope that are so important for us to read from Jeremiah? Now, you mentioned the promise of the Lord our righteous coming as the Messiah in those days. So how do we relate to that now and to the other gems that we see in Jeremiah as well?
Well, there's a number of, as you're reading through the book of Jeremiah, you're going to find all kinds of examples of those. We touched on two of them earlier. The branch of David, which is found, that is a beautiful picture that shows that the kingdom, so David is dead and gone at this point, right? And from all human perspectives, David's kingdom was about to come to an end. But what does the Lord say? As this tree, okay, so you've got Josiah, his three sons, and his grandson. So you've got Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, as well as Jehoahaz. They're all going to die. One of them is going to be taken into captivity. He'll live through this. But think of this tree of David. And it's being cut down by the Babylonians. It's fallen over. But what does the Lord say? He says that there's going to be a branch that comes out of this stump. And that branch is the Savior. The Lord is not done with his people yet. For your sake and mine, Neil, he was going to fulfill the promises that he made to Adam and to Eve, to Abraham, to David. He was going to fulfill what he had promised, and it would be through that little stump that was the line of David that would lead to the Savior. And as you mentioned earlier, that righteousness, the one who would be righteous, right?
Well, and it's interesting, too, when you say that, you know, okay, our nation's going to be cut off, but there were some who were listening to Jeremiah. There was a remnant. There was some who, even though the nation was hearing destruction, they were hearing that gospel, that promise of the Lord, too. And I think that is something that is a huge takeaway for me from the book of Jeremiah, is that no matter what condemnation the Lord brings against our country or our world, there's always this gospel hope of what the Lord has promised to those who fear him, who trust in him, who want to do his will with all their heart.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the promise is there through it all. In the midst of that darkness, there's that light that the Lord shines through using Jeremiah to point to the Lord's promise of deliverance. And it's also there in an immediate way. So the Savior was still 500 years in the future, right? But there was a more immediate promise, and we talked about that earlier also. It was Jeremiah who foretold that this destruction that would come by the Babylonians would be limited. It would be for 70 years, and it would come to an end. And it's found a couple of different times in Jeremiah, but in Jeremiah chapter 24, he speaks about how the nation would serve the king of Babylon for 70 years, but then he would judge the king of Babylon, and he would bring the people back. And that was the hope that Daniel and later on Ezra the prophet at the end of the Babylonian captivity, they would lay their confidence, their hope in those promises of the Lord. And did the Lord disappoint? Not at all. He fulfilled what he promised. And so Jeremiah did preach to that remnant. There's always a remnant, isn't there?
Yeah.
No matter how bad things look. There was a remnant at the time of Noah. It was only 8 people, but there was a remnant. There was always a remnant. The Lord always preserves his church. Yeah, Elijah and the 7,000. He said, hey, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. There's always a remnant. The Lord says, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And the Lord fulfills that promise through the ups and the downs of human history to fulfill his promise to us.
So what's your guidance for someone who decides, oh, that's an interesting podcast. I'm going to go back and read through Jeremiah. What would be your suggestions on how they go about reading through that?
It is a challenging book because because, as we mentioned earlier on, it is not set up chronologically. So what I would do is I would start with just kind of outlining the history at this point so that you kind of have a placeholder. Familiarize yourself with maybe the end of Kings and Chronicles that goes through the reigns of Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiachin, Zedekiah, and Jehoiakim is up there earlier, but those five kings. Just get familiar with those so that you have a placeholder as you read through the book of Jeremiah. And then pay attention to the opening verses of the chapter, who Jeremiah is talking to and at what time. And it kind of it's able to put it into perspective, into that historical context, to know what is going on at the time. But for me, it's always helpful to just be familiar with the historical setting from Kings and Chronicles before you start to read through the prophecies that Jeremiah presents here in the 52 chapters of his book.
Last thing I want to ask you for today, I think this has been a really good overview for me, and I hope anybody else who's getting a chance to listen to this. We started by you calling Jeremiah the weeping prophet. So how do you put that in perspective with Jeremiah's life?
Do you know why he's called the weeping prophet? He's called the weeping prophet for a couple of reasons. Number one, he had a tough job. I mean, just imagine all of the things that he was confronted with. The majority of people were not going to hear what Jeremiah had to say. But he also saw the city of Jerusalem, the temple, destroyed. And that's where we get that term, is from the book that he wrote that follows his prophecy, the book of Lamentations, lamenting. That's where he gets his name, the weeping prophet. But in the middle of the book of Lamentations, you have this beautiful picture of the Lord's mercies, which are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And so as we take a look at the book of Jeremiah, yes, we need to see the reality of our sin and its consequences. That's important for us as Christians to know we are sinful. But to not lose sight of those gospel glimpses that are found both in the prophecies of Jeremiah and in the book of Lamentations, that the Lord's faithfulness is new to you. It's new to me every morning. His mercies never fail. His faithfulness is great. There's where we lay our confidence.
It's interesting to compare Job and Jeremiah. We usually go to Job and we talk about suffering. And, you know, Jeremiah, in a lot of ways, was greater than Job in the sense of knowing in advance what was going to take place and going anyway to do what the Lord asked him to do, knowing that he was going to suffer anyway, but going in advance to share that word. I know they had two different roles, but Jeremiah is a good one to remember where it says, you know what? I know this person, this group of people, maybe family, maybe friends, this nation isn't going to listen to me, but the Lord has asked me to go to them anyway with the gospel. And it strikes me as very helpful, you know, for your day-to-day motivation to go, even if it doesn't matter how they respond to it. We're going anyway with that good news that we put our hope and confidence in as well.
And I think that's one of the greatest things about the book of Jeremiah. You know, we talked earlier about how the fact human beings haven't changed in the course of 2,500 years, right? One of the neatest things about Jeremiah is that it reminds us that God hasn't changed over the course of 2,500 years. He is still great. He is still faithful. His mercies continue to endure to you and to me. And so there's one of the greatest points to bring out about the book of Jeremiah. Yes, we haven't changed. We're still the same sinful human race that's always existed since the time of Adam and Eve. But the confidence is that God hasn't changed. His faithfulness continues to endure to us and to our children and to the generations that will follow them as well.
I agree. I love that phrase that he uses right away at the beginning of the book, and that's Jeremiah runs with that with his entire life. I will be with you. And that's ultimately such a good reminder for us. So I'm really thankful we had the chance to go through this today, Nathaniel, and it's nice to know that no matter who we are, where we are, what we're facing, whatever challenges the Lord promises, I will be with you. We can rejoice in that comfort no matter what we face. We are looking forward to an eternal life with our Lord and Savior. So I appreciate your historical knowledge of this and your summary of Jeremiah and going into it a little bit deeper with me today. And we pray that the Lord would bless all of you who are listening as well with the joy that really comes from Christ, the same one who Jeremiah was preaching also. Please continue to listen to our podcasts and look us up on burdenblessing.org. The Lord bless you and keep you always.
We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that He will always be with you, even to the end of the world.